Through Meditations on Race, Culture, and Family, the new book One Day on the Gold Line tells the story of a lesbian Jewish single mother raising a black son in Los Angeles. A memoir in essays, it examines life's surprising changes that come through the choice of circumstance, often seemingly out of nowhere and sometimes darkly humorous, even as the situations are dire. Carla Rachel Sameth has taught creative writing to incarcerated youth through Write Girl and teaches at the Los Angeles Writing Project at California State University, Los Angeles, and with Southern New Hampshire University. Again, the name of the book is One Day on the Gold Line, a memoir in essays, and it's a pleasure to welcome Carla Rachel Sameth to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be on.
Very nice to have you on the program. Give us a sense of the point you knew you wanted to do this, that you wanted to tell this story and you were going to tell it in the form of a series of essays.
I began writing parts of this when in the early days when I was struggling to have a child. I was actually on a lifeboat in the middle of the Mediterranean because our ship had caught fire. And I was in the lifeboat, and everyone on the lifeboat was crying except for me. I was thinking, oh, it's as good a time to go as any. I had just split up from a relationship and had to terminate a pregnancy due to medical risks. And so I was pretty stoic. And I looked at, there was one other woman on the lifeboat who wasn't crying. And she was rocking her baby, and their eyes were just locked together. And I looked at the mom and the baby, and I thought, oh, if I were to die right then, my biggest regret would be never having had a child. And I began to cry. So I like to tell my son that I got off a burning boat to have him. But it wasn't so easy, actually. When I started to try to have a child, I had multiple miscarriages. I could easily become pregnant, but then I would lose the pregnancy in the early months. And indeed, bringing together a family, creating what I thought would be family, a safe sanctuary, was much harder than I thought. So I began to write in those years. I've written much of my life, but I began to get the idea for this book in the early years of being a mom. It started out as writing single essays. And then when my son was about 7 or 8 years old, or actually maybe a little bit older, I was on a writing workshop, and the author teaching that workshop suggested that I should be writing a book-length memoir, which was really frightening to me at the time. You know, I was a struggling working single mom, and, you know, just writing a book seemed like a handful. But she suggested consider a memoir and essays. And so over time, this idea of this memoir and essays developed. I began to publish short pieces. I actually helped my son when he was in, I think, kindergarten or first grade, get a story published that he'd written after 9/11. It was sent into the LA Times. They said, we're not publishing stories about 9/11, but can he write about this other theme? So he got a little piece published, and I thought, I should be sending my work out. So I did start sending work out and gradually began to think about taking on the idea of book-length memoir. And eventually, when my son left home, I went back to school and got my MFA. And that was where the whole kind of arc of the story and the construction of the book really coalesced at that time. So it's a memoir in essays. They are linked essays. There is a story arc, so it's not an essay collection.
Right.
And I really love the idea of being able to tell the story with essays of different lengths and different styles. Some are very chronological, like chapters. Others are more thematic.
It is fascinating because if there, besides the arc, there is a link here that you are, it seems, that you are exploring what it means if there is such a thing as perfect when it comes to family.
Yeah, I think that I had this idea of family, not perfect like Norman Rockwell paintings, right, but perfect as in like happy chaos, and as in a safe kind of, I mentioned safe sanctuary. And, you know, in my mind, I thought my son having a lesbian mom and being African American and Jewish and being part of a blended family, or even with a single mom, would just make life richer for him. But the reality was actually much harder. And definitely there were challenges in life that came in that made it that added great difficulty to parenting and to having a safe, secure environment for my son. It wasn't as easy as I thought, you know, to have the existence, of both the blended family as well as him being biracial and having a lesbian mom. Because at first he couldn't wait to tell everyone when I met a woman. And he met his her daughter, and he couldn't wait to tell everybody about his new sister and mom when we got together. But he kind of got shut down when he went into school and was kind of told, you know, well, that's fine, but don't take back to school. And also, as far as being biracial, told things like, look in the mirror, you're not really black. And so he began to, I think, long for a family. The reference is a little dated at this point, but a family that looked like the Cosbys. What we thought the Cosbys were, and a more conventional, intact, heterosexual African-American middle-class family. This changed as he got older, and the world changed in terms of their attitudes towards gay marriage, in terms of seeing more non-traditional families, to the point of where by the time he was in high school, he was writing things on Facebook like, hey, if you're a homophobe, go ahead and put it out there, put an H on your forehead, and telling me, Mom, it's cool. Why wouldn't I want a lesbian mom? We can look at girls together. But it was really tough for a while, him being able to deal with all these aspects of society. And also, for me, raising a young black son in the world that we live in today, where police violence and incarceration are real threats, to young black men, and sort of coming to terms with that reality was, I thought I knew about that, but it really became much more real once I had a son in the world.
Also, you write, and it's toward the end of the book, and it's probably one of the most recent things that happens in the book, and that is the dealing with your teenage son's addiction to alcohol and drugs. This is something that is all too frequent in our country, and yet you write about it of what that is like, especially in the terms of the many other aspects that he had to deal with that you have previously mentioned.
Yes. It's interesting because I didn't, when my son was little, worry about, what if he grows up and becomes a drug addict? I worried about things like lead poisoning, and I used to joke and say I should have known it was coming because he just could not stop nursing, and I thought I had to send him to Nursing Anonymous. But he began to experiment with drugs in high school, and it quickly turned into something else, not recreational, but more really heavy using I thought of it more as trying to obliterate feelings of anxiety, feelings perhaps of not fitting in, the struggle of school for my son is, he was sort of a dreamy intellectual and very smart, and people expected a lot from him, but had challenges with focus and organization. And I once heard that school can be like a 12-year prison sentence for some boys, and also I think some girls. So he began to use drugs, and it escalated to the point where I was in and out of ERs and 72-hour holds, where they evaluate a person, a young person, and say, are they at risk to themselves or to others? And in this case, his escalating drug use was putting him at risk. And I began to hear, he could die. It was pretty much the worst thing that a parent could hear. And it took a lot for me to really understand what was going on, and at times not be really angry, because with addiction comes things like stealing and lying. But once I was able to read more, go to Al-Anon, it was a real lifeline for me to read stories by other parents of addicts, of addicts themselves, and I was able to feel much more empathy and realize, this is, my son is a beautiful person. This is the addiction, not the person. But it was a really rough time for us. Yes.
Well, the essays and these meditations on race and culture and family are in the book One Day on the Gold Line, a memoir in essays. The book is published by Black Rose Writing. Carla Rachel Samath, I thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Great pleasure here. Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is One Day on the Gold Line, a memoir in essays. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.